Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Incitec Pivot Market Update conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Charles McGill. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. My name is Charlie McGill, and I'd like to welcome you to this morning's market update. I understand we are joined in Australia, Asia, Europe, and the United States, and appreciate you taking the time to dial in during this busy part of the year, particularly given that it's reporting season. As a point of administration, please note that the materials we will be discussing this morning have been lodged with the Australian Stock Exchange, and they can be found on both there and our website. A recording of this call will also be posted on our website. I'd also like to draw your attention to the disclaimer found on page two. As indicated a few months ago, the purpose of this call is to provide a brief market update before we go into our full-year blackout period. This is being held in lieu of an investor day, which recognizes the environment in which we are currently operating. As noted a moment ago, we understand this meeting coincides with the reporting season and intend to keep our comments concise. With that in mind, I'd like to turn your attention to page three and hand over to James Fazzino, our Managing Director and CEO.
Well, thanks, Charlie, and good morning or good evening, depending on which part of the world you're in. As I always will do, I'll start the presentation with our number one priority, safety, or what we call zero harm. And as Charlie said, on slide three, you can see our zero harm journey. And on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the two key metrics that we look at when we look at safety. The total recordable injury frequency rate, that records the amount of injuries that we have per 200,000 hours, and importantly, the severity rate. And what you can see back to 2012 is we've made a step change in our zero harm performance. On top of that, we've completed over 5 million hours at Louisiana without a lost time injury. And that is actually a benchmark performance for any construction contract anywhere in the world. We're well into our zero harm journey, but of course, none of those are at zero. And we'll continue to focus on zero harm until we are at zero. So moving to slide five, on slide five, we've got a summary of the second half market conditions. And there's no new news on this slide. In fact, the details that you have are absolutely consistent with what we said at half year in May. So the second half conditions have played out exactly as we forecast and disclosed to the market in May. And what we've observed is, firstly, nitrogen and phosphate prices have remained at either 10 or 12 year lows during the half. The Aussie dollar remains stubbornly high, and the US coal market has been challenging in the half. As I said, absolutely no new news in those statistics. However, we are seeing some encouraging leading signs in the markets we're in. In our explosives segment, we've seen a recovery in global coal and iron ore prices. And in our fertilizer segment, both DAP and urea have stabilized, albeit at the low point. And in terms of domestic demand, the demand from the winter crops has been extremely strong. Once again, no new news there. You could read about that in either the Weekly Times if you're down south in Australia, or in the Land if you're in the northern part of Australia. But nevertheless, a really strong winter crop, and I'm actually very pleased about that because it actually means our farmers will have a great year. Our focus remains on controlling the controllables through BEX, and BEX is our lean manufacturing system. We continue to see in the second half outstanding production across our major plants, and with the highlights being Moranbah and Phosphate Hill. And both of those plants in the half have recorded new production records. For example, Phosphate Hill produced above 100,000 tonnes of product in July. We're actively managing our gas supply challenges. I was in contact with the people behind the NEGI, which is the Northern Territory pipeline to Phosphate Hill, and can confirm that the pipe for that pipeline is being constructed currently or being manufactured in Asia at the moment. And as you're aware, as we move to that pipeline in 2019, that'll reduce our gas costs at FOSS by around $55 million. So we're addressing those gas challenges one at a time and actively managing those. Louisiana remains on time and on budget, and I'll speak about Louisiana in a little more detail in a moment. In terms of the big picture, there is inherent cyclicality in our portfolio. And I've been through the, as Frank has, the current type of factors that we see in the market probably at least four times during my tenure with IPL. And I guess my big picture counsel for all of you is to remember that cyclical businesses cycle. Fertilizer prices overshoot on both the bottom and on the top. And in fact, it's that overshooting at the bottom that causes the cyclicality in terms of the spike at the top. You shouldn't extrapolate off either the bottom or the top. So don't get too pessimistic down here. And when prices boom, don't get too optimistic. Rather, it's my counsel that you do what we do and look at our business through the cycle, which is the way we run it. And with that in perspective, we've been positioning the business to be profitable and resilient at the bottom of the cycle, which is where you see it today. And our efficiency program is on track, and I can report we're absolutely on track to deliver $100 million of improved cash flow from the 2017 year. And if you look back at our first half presentation, you'll see that $80 million of that will be in the P&L. And $20 million of that will come through reduced CapEx. And of course, positioning the business for acceptable returns at the bottom of the cycle means that we will deliver compelling returns at the top. But as I said, you should consider our business through the cycle, either at the bottom or at the top. All of that actually leaves us on track for improved returns to shareholders from 2017. Once again, absolutely no new news there. Moving to slide six, here we give an update on Louisiana. Once again, no new news. The three-year journey is coming to an end for all of us. The project remains on time, on budget, and that's exactly what we said at first half. So once again, no new news there. Construction now is complete. We regularly reforecast the total costs, and I can confirm that $850 million remains the cost of the project. So once again, no new news. And the plant's deep into the commissioning phase as we speak today. And we're forecasting the plant to move into the production phase in September. And that actually means that the timing remains on track. So the plant's on budget, on time. With regard to commissioning, we've produced over 25,000 tonnes of ammonia to date. We've started to supply our off-takers by barge, rail, train, and pipe. And on the 24th of August, which was a day ago, US time, I can report we produced 2,320 short tons of ammonia. And the relevant metric in terms of short tons is a nameplate daily production of 2,500 short tons per day. So we're currently running at an uptime in the 90s. So given what I've said, we would expect the performance test to be slated sometime in September, and we'll update the market appropriately as that occurs. Now, in terms of the big picture, I think this is a sensational outcome. If you look globally, to have a project that's on time, on budget, one that works, and also one that continues to deliver its returns that we forecast at sanctioning is truly a world-class outcome. And I just wanted to take the time to recognise our Louisiana-based engineering team, led by Maurice Hoffman, for this achievement, and also our Louisiana production team, who are running a plant as we speak, led by Chris Morgan, and also recognise KBR for its hard work and professionalism in delivering a world-class plant to us. So with those comments, I'll hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Frank Nicholas.
Thanks, James, and hello to everyone on the call. I'll give a brief update on each of the businesses and the trading conditions that we've experienced in the second half before briefly commenting on the balance sheet, reminding people about our sensitivities, and then we'll close for questions. First of all, in terms of slide 7, in dealing with the Dyno Nobel Americas business, coal markets remain challenging, although recent statistics have been quite encouraging. In fact, the warm summer in North America has contributed to increased energy demand and a rebound in coal burn, as you can see in the coal production graph on the slide. What this has meant is that it's helped chew through the high coal inventory levels at electricity generators, and that will go a long way towards stabilising next year's coal production outlook. Secondly, while metals and mining markets have also been challenging, the recent rebound in commodity prices and tariffs on US steel imports looks to be improving the outlook for FY17 in this segment. In terms of the quarry and construction segment, it continues to grow, albeit at moderating rates over the last couple of months. While the impact of the US $305 billion highway spending bill is in its infancy, going forward, this should underpin growth in this segment. Further, our quarry and construction segment footprint and customer offering is strong, which positions us well to participate in the long-term expected growth in this segment. In terms of the ag and IC segment of the North American business, of course, it's facing pressure from subdued global urea pricing, which is currently trading near 12-year lows, although recent prices look to have stabilised. The efficiency measures we're taking in the DNA business position us well for bottom of the cycle conditions. And in fact, as is the case in the rest of the business, our efficiency program in North America is ensuring that we're fit and lean at a challenging position in the cycle. It means that we will be in great shape to take advantage when the cycle turns. Also important is the quality of our asset position, underpinned especially by Cheyenne's proximity to the Powder River Basin and its lowest cost status in that footprint, and that gives us a very strong position in North America's best coal market. If I can move to slide 8 and address briefly Dyno Nobel Asia Pacific. First of all, Asia Pacific explosives volumes continue to be resilient despite market conditions, and this is consistent, of course, with what we reported in the first half. It's underpinned by demand from top-tier met coal customers in the Bowen Basin and iron ore miners in the west. Whilst there's been a little bit of a hiccup in terms of volumes in the Bowen Basin, particularly in June and July, that was caused by high rainfall. That's relatively minor in the context of the year, and this is appears to be behind us now. Obviously, the environment that we operate in the explosives business in Australia remains challenging. Customers remain cost-focused, and around the mining sector in Australia, there continue to be some closures and curtailments of more marginal mining operations. However, Moranbah is performing well and continues to benefit from its cost position, its customer profile, and its proximity to the Bowen Basin. Manufacturing performance has been excellent, with strong full-year production expected. Bowen Basin metallurgical coal exports continue to grow, and importantly, Moranbah has received its full gas requirements in the second half of the year. If I can turn to slide 9 to address the fertiliser business, obviously James has already mentioned the headwind provided by depressed global fertiliser prices, and you can see from the graph there that DAP and urea are at low points in the cycle. Recent trends in terms of DAP and urea markets, however, have been encouraging. In terms of our domestic markets, as you know, our distribution volumes were down 24% in the first half. But as James has already mentioned, excellent rainfall since April across all of Australia have translated into very strong top dress season, and volumes have rebounded and at this stage look like they will end up somewhere consistent with last year's volumes, which is a very strong recovery given where we were sitting in March. Obviously, we've also mentioned that global prices look to have stabilised in recent weeks. And in terms of domestic distribution margins, importantly, they remain stable. Phosphate Hill is on track for a strong full-year production output despite the derailment. And importantly, the BEX initiatives we're taking at that site are tangibly reducing our cost per tonne metrics. In addition to plant production performance remaining strong and significant progress, as we discussed at half year, continues to be made on the Phosphate Hill cost base in the form of signing new contracts, such as the new mining contract with BCG, and we've made significant progress on other supply contracts, which together with our new gas arrangements will significantly lower our cost position from 2017. This means that we'll be profitable even at this part of the cycle, and obviously positions us very well for any price recovery. If I can turn to slide 10 and briefly discuss our balance sheet. And again, in this respect, there's no new news. The credit metrics that we're achieving are consistent with the targets we set at the beginning of the Louisiana project. We're tracking to those target credit metrics, and our balance sheet accordingly is in very good shape. We've said previously that once Louisiana is up and running and proved its stability over a few months, this will enable us to have discussions with rating agencies about the parameters required to continue to maintain our investment-grade credit ratings while increasing returns to shareholders. And in that respect, this remains our plan. As you can see in the table on slide 10, we remain well-funded and have access to more than adequate liquidity to operate the business and fund increased returns to shareholders. And just finally, turning to slide 11 to close out, as we always do, remind you that we provide you with the sensitivities around the key drivers for our business, in particular global fertiliser prices and exchange rates currently, and obviously going forward, natural gas and ammonia will become more important. At that point, I'll hand back to Charlie.
Thanks, Frank. We would now like to open the line for some limited questions. Again, we're absolutely conscious that it's reporting season, so our intention is to keep this limited to about 10 minutes or so. Operator, if you could please open the line.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Raymond Lazar with UBS Investment Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
All right.
Good morning, Raymond.
Just a couple of quick questions for me. Just one on Louisiana commissioning. Just your comments, James, suggest that the commissioning or official handover is likely to be completed sometime in the back end of September, assuming that the plant runs at full capacity for that 30-day period that's required for handover. Would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, so it is around that timing, Romain. So we're actually quite close. As I said, I spoke to Morris this morning. We're running at about 2,300 tonnes per day. We need to get the plant to 2,500 tonnes per day. As you're aware, there's an ammonia plant starts with reforming the gas, and then it goes through to ammonia synthesis. So that reforming we refer to as the front end of the plant's operating at 100%. And not unusually, with the plant, what you've got to do is tune the back end to have all of that production turned into ammonia. And that's where we'll get the remaining roughly 180 tonnes per day to take us to nameplate. So it's just a matter of doing something, as I said, which they refer to as tuning. It's just making sure that there's no carryover hydrogen that's not turned into ammonia. The report from the site is it's a fantastic plant, as you'd expect, because KBR's built it, a very stable plant, and that'll leave us well on track to deliver the type of uptime that we've forecast for the 2017 year, so that's an 80% uptime. A really exciting period we're going into as a company, and as I said in my comments, for an Australian company to have delivered this is a fantastic achievement.
Okay, great. And just I guess from a accounting point of view, beneficial production is unlikely to be recognised now until 2017. And I guess with that, Frank, you wouldn't expect to book any sort of depreciation or interest costs through the P&L in the current half?
Yeah, so what I would say, rather than saying what I expect to book in the current half or not, is that essentially the performance test is a prerequisite for commissioning from an accounting point of view. So once that happens, the presumption is that we're up and running stably, and that's, without getting into all the technicalities, what you need to call it commissioned from an accounting point of view.
And we'll update the market once that performance test has been passed,
yeah,
and once we're satisfied that's been passed. But I think we're on the cusp of something that's pretty special here.
Okay, and then just one last one for me, Frank. Just, I guess, given where commodity prices are, how are you and I guess the credit agencies thinking about any potential for capital management in the near term?
As I said, Ramon, we need to have Louisiana up and running and stable, and then we can have more concrete discussions with the rating agencies about where we need to be to not only maintain the investment grade credit rating sort of under the current conditions, but what we need for for that to also accommodate increased returns. So there's no change on what I've said before. We can't we can't skip ahead of ourselves here. We need to wait for Louisiana to be online.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mark Wilson with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Just with the performance testing at Louisiana, is there a predetermined schedule for that phase, how long it goes on for, or is it really just a matter for you to negotiate that with KBR?
Yeah, it's a matter of, for us to agree that the plant's met its performance test with KBR. So they actually put some data to us, and we can accept that. It's our judgment, not theirs. And that's something which we'll go through in terms of the contract.
And James, just, you know, typically with these contracts, I mean, what would you, you know, yes, it's got to get from the 2,300 to the 2,500 tonnes per day. How long, you know, would you expect that to operate at those levels before you would be happy to take ownership of the plant?
Oh, look, that's a contractual right that we've got, which I'd prefer not to talk about publicly. But we'll be through in September. We've got huge confidence of that. And, you know, the type of stability we're seeing at the moment gives us that confidence. On top of that, there's always something called a punch list of things they've got to fix. It's kind of like when you build a house, Mark, and, you know, you might find a tile that's been put on a bit crooked and you want to get the builder back to go and fix the tile. It's that type of stuff they've got to do also. So, but, you know, we've been through this before, of course, many times before. Morris has had experience with other turnkeys, so none of this is unusual. But we've got ourselves a really good plan. And as I said, you wouldn't expect anything else because KBR's built it.
Yeah, sure. And just with the improvement in coal and iron ore prices, are you actually seeing your mining customers either here in Australia or in the US actually, you know, modifying some of their behaviour?
Oh, look, I mean, the market's always competitive, but for the last, I would have thought a couple of years, the customers have actually wanted to mine as much as they possibly can. That's the lever that they've got that reduces their cost per tonne. And whether to one side, we continue to see really strong demand, both in the Bowen Basin and also up on the Pilbara. I was actually speaking to our Pilbara site manager over dinner two nights ago, and she was telling us that we're on the verge of having to go to another shift up there. So very strong volume demand. Of course, the customers are always cost-focused. There's been no change, by the way. I mean, this idea that the customers have been anything other than that, and the idea that the explosives market's been anything other than highly competitive is folly. So, you know, it's a competitive market. We're a competitive supplier, but, you know, the volumes are really good out of Australia. And, you know, we're encouraged by seeing some of those coal inventories come off. Once again, the view that the US will stop mining coal out of the PRB is bizarre, actually. So we're still seeing that. But, you know, competitive markets, but really no change. You've been in this industry for long enough to know that that's where it's always been, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, thanks very much, James.
And operator, we have time, it looks like, for two more questions, please.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Keith Chow with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll be quick on my questions. Frank, maybe just a couple for you. Firstly, just around the tax shield you can generate from that Louisiana asset from accelerated depreciation. I'm just wondering how quickly you can actually depreciate the plant for tax purposes and whether you can apply that tax shield across the entire US operations.
To answer the second question first, you can. And we've got Charlie here, who's our resident American, and he's very au fait with the depreciation. Correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, but we essentially can write most of the asset off over the first 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. And Keith?
And on an accelerating profile, in other words, with high deductions in those early years.
Yeah. And to that point, Keith, the first 2 years are the higher of the five and a half years, and our intention is at the full year that we'll give a bit more clarity as to what those numbers look like in terms of what the accelerated depreciation. Those are all public IRS numbers that are essentially dependent on how assets are actually allocated with the tax office. But essentially, those are all publicly available pieces. So we'll be putting that out potentially at the full year
okay.
period.
Okay, just a second question very quickly on the fertilizer business, maybe one for you, James. I think this time last year there was a level of write-down associated with inventories on the books. I think you mentioned that distribution margins, or I think Frank mentioned distribution margins, were relatively stable. Can we take that as read that there isn't going to be an upcoming write-down in fertilizer inventories?
Actually, there was no write-down last year. There was a margin squeeze.
The margin squeeze
depends on when you're buying product. But the distribution margins are pretty encouraging. And as I said, you know, the really encouraging thing is there's rain in Australia, and we haven't had that for a long, long time. And farmers, you know, the demand from farmers is fantastic at the moment. So, you know, we almost think there's going to be a record top dress this year, and ultimately that'll end up with cash in farmers' pockets, and, you know, they certainly deserve that return.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Your final question comes from John Purtell with Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Look, just back on Louisiana. James, you're expecting beneficial production in September, just to confirm that. You mentioned the 2,500 per day production rate. Do you actually need to run that for a certain number of days to actually achieve beneficial production?
Yeah, you do, but it's up to us to determine how satisfied we are for that. So that's our choice. So the 2,500 tons are short tons, John. So don't get excited if you multiply by that by 365.
0.907, to be exact, John.
But it's US talk in short tons. But great plant and high degree of confidence that test will be passed and we'll move to beneficial production.
James, previously you've talked to sort of, you know, an 80% utilisation in the first year. And is that still your expectation, or is that on the conservative side, which, you know, probably makes sense, but I guess others in the industry, tend to have more optimistic views?
Oh, no, I mean, 80% is probably still our number, and the 80% means it'll be off 20% of the time. And, you know, with a brand new plant, you are going to find a flange or leak, or you'll end up with vibration, and you'll come off and fix it. So, you know, this is a 50-year investment here, and we're not going to break the plant in the first year. And the fact that it's a 50-year investment is missed by some in the market, I must say. Back to my comments about looking through the cycle rather than at spot. But, you know, we've got a high degree of confidence, and obviously, the team will be incentivised to deliver above that. But in terms of your numbers, you should stay with 80%.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, John, and thank you, operator. On behalf of James, Frank, and the IPL team, I'd like to thank you again for your time this morning. And we very much look forward to speaking with you when we present our full year results in November.